strength when it comes to speaking, but because I don't do it all that often. But this is more, it's going to be more not a sermon, but a testimony on my life and where I've been and where I am now, thanks to God. And you know, it is daylight savings time, and we gained an hour of sleep, so I expect everybody to hopefully be awake for this. And I did throw a little kink in things, not only with the rose, but also with my sermon text. I changed it on Friday, and Judy wasn't able to update the bulletin, so I am not speaking on that sermon text that's in the bulletin. It's going to be a little bit different. And I also want to thank Pastor Jesse for believing in me, for being able to come up here, but also for God for an answer to prayer. For, you know, you don't know what God's going to do in your life, and until you're nudged a little bit, what your answer is going to be to God. And it can be difficult to tell him yes, because right now, basically, I'm like extremely out of my element. So anyway, let's start out with Psalm 19:14. I'd like to read that. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So this morning I'm going to read out of Daniel. It's a fitting text because it's my name, you know, and but I chose this because I heard a sermon by Dr. Edwin Lutzer. He was a pastor at Moody Bible Institute, and he did it on this verse, but also it's fitting for a lot of things going on today and in our lives. And it's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they, you know, their trials and their facing the fiery furnace. So it's Daniel chapter 3, and I'll start with verse 15 and go all the way through 18. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, so it may not match exactly up there, but it'll be close. So here's verse 15. Now, and by the way, I don't have my cheaters, so if I don't get a word exactly right, this stuff's a little bit blurry right now. I wear contacts, but I need cheaters. Now, if you're ready at the moment, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of a blazing fire. What God is, and what God is there, who can deliver you out of my hands? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So basically, you know, for my life, when I was younger, it was fairly easy, you know, not too many consequences. I wasn't a churched guy. I would go on, parents would take me occasionally on Easter or Christmas, or, you know, the times that it mattered to go to church, right? Whatever that was. And I grew up in a somewhat stable home, but I didn't face too many consequences where I had to look beyond my own self-control or self-will to just fix. I could almost fix everything myself. And in 1997, I married my beautiful wife, Shelley, and you know, she brought more of a godly perspective into my life, and I'm okay. I was afraid I was talking a little bit too loud, but anyway, I married her here at this church under that cross, and she brought a more of a godly perspective in my life that I never really thought of, and you know, it was a transition, and shortly thereafter we packed our bags and we moved out to Colorado, and we found a really, really good church. It was more of a Bible-based church. Our pastor was a graduate of the Dallas Theological Seminary, and he could take one little part of the Bible out and preach on it for an hour, and the Hebrew and the Greek and everything else, and it was like, you know, just baffling. But I did sit through a year of seminary with him just to learn more about the Bible, just because I felt like if I was to know God, I need to know his word a little bit better. Well, that was good, but I really, at this point, looking back, I was still a fence sitter, you could call it. I had one foot in God's world and one foot in, you know, the world, this world. And, you know, I still struggled a lot with sin, and I will always struggle with sin, but I struggled more with my sin because I didn't have that trust and obedience that I needed. And when Shelley and I first got married in Wisconsin, she had a miscarriage, and we lost what could have been our first child. And then moving and living in Colorado, she had a tubal pregnancy. And what could have been our second child was also lost. And anyway, I won't go too far into that other than we moved to the UP in 2005. We got a new lease in life. We sought adoption in Colorado for like 2 years. We were seeking to adopt kids because we weren't sure when or where we were going to be able to have kids, and we wanted to have kids. And we in Colorado, it didn't happen for us. So we continued to seek. When we moved up to the UP, we continued to seek adopting or foster caring kids. And Shelley had another tubal pregnancy when we moved up here. And that was kind of God's answer to us that we're probably not going to have children. And it was devastating for her and devastating for me, but also it allowed us to then again seek adoption and foster care. And so after seeking adoption, we realized that we would have to foster care before we wanted to adopt, and we were unsure about that. But a funny thing happened. We adopted in 2008 two brothers, a 2 and 4 year old from Iron Mountain, Michigan, Chase and Ty. And it was a blessing on us. We prayed about it, and we wanted children, and I was like 36 years old, and here comes a 2 and 4 year old, and I'm like, I gotta start being responsible here, you know. So anyway, that was just a blessing that God allowed us to be able to not bring 2 children into this world, but help raise 2 children. And in 2011, my mom passed away. She was 68 years old. She was my partner in crime. She'd call me her partner in crime, I should say. A beautiful woman. And I realized that at that point, I was not immune to tragedy. Here, my mom, who was supposed to live a long, illustrious life, passes away at 68, which is young for our standards. And it was a tragedy because it wasn't foreseen. It was a sudden thing, and she was one of those anchors that I no longer had to rely on anymore. So I was kind of lost. And I was not trusting in God the way I am today. I can put it that way. I wasn't seeking God's wisdom on a regular basis. I was still trying to do things on my own. So that by going through it that way, it was a little bit harder. And anyway, after that, life started to kind of get back to somewhat of a normalcy. But we started noticing something a little different about our son, Chase. He had some insecurities, some fears, some anxieties that he couldn't disclose to the outside world. He built it up on the inside, and then he would release it on the ones he loved at home. And it wasn't his fault. Chase was Chase spent the first years of his life, and Ty, in survival mode. You're trying to survive. And at 2 and 4 years old, they had a new lease on life. And I found that I had through this situation with my son, I found myself having to release it, let go of it, trust in God, give it to God, and understand that he's not mine. He is God's child. And so I started praying more. I started seeking God's wisdom more and not Dan's. And I felt defeated. And I felt only God and God only could rescue this child or any child. And let me flip the page now. Continuing with that, in 2019, my dad died at 77, at 77 years old. At this point, both my parents are passed, have left, but this death seemed a little bit different, because I thought about it as, like, this is the procession of things, right? I have three older brothers and 2 older sisters, and eventually it's going to be one of us next, hey? And I didn't want that, but also the thing about my dad's funeral was it was easier to take because I had someone to take it for me. And I didn't have that before. I thought I could just bear everything myself, and I couldn't do that. And so praise God. And in 2020, I lost my father-in-law, who was a wonderful man. I was able to pray for him in the hospital before he passed. And I saw his eyes. His eyes changed. It's like he had that end of life, he saw the peace of God. And it was a wonderful experience for me. But it was wonderful that he asked me to pray for him, and that I was worthy enough to do that. And so I'm thankful. And now, July 17th, 2021, my son Chase took his life. Feelings of grief, guilt, anger, fear. Why God, right? Why God? He left nothing behind but a note-filled Bible, talking with his Heavenly Father. And, you know, when you're used to having someone at the dinner table and they're no longer there, they're no longer, you know, I used to go down in the basement and I'd wake them up by grabbing them by the calf and squeezing it and saying, "Rise and shine." And there was no longer that calf to grab onto. And, you know, people would say, you know, "It seems like you're taking it well," or I don't know what I would do. Honestly, I don't think people, there's no way I could tell you what it's like. There's no way I can tell you that you'd do anything but trust God all the more. And, you know, I see now that God prepared me for that day. He prepared me for that day because I was in prayer. I was reading the Bible years before this would happen. I was praying for my son, and my family, but I was also praying, when I found myself praying for my son and my family, I found myself also praying for me. And it's like, how do you find joy again, right? And so God took what I could not bear. And it's because he is God and I am not. And his promises. But also, to follow that up, who we just spoke of, my brother Greg, he passed away of a sudden heart attack at 59 in 2023. And we were going through his stuff, and I talked to him a few years before this, and I talked to him about seeking a church and getting back to seeking the Lord. He was alone. He was almost homeless. And after going through all of his stuff, in the pants he was wearing when he had his heart attack, I found a cross in his pocket. So that's confirmation that he was seeking the Lord. And, you know, I thank God. I thank God. It was my brother. I love my brother. And love my son and I love my parents, and they're all not here anymore. But I still thank God. I still thank God. So I chose this sermon text because of the pastor that Edwin Lutzer that wrote about it, but also because I was thinking about a different sermon text, and I'm juggling it around, and I'm like, the song by Mercy Me was played during Chase's funeral, and it goes off of this verse, and I want to just say part of that song in this about this. So and it's pretty close to me being having to be done, but I'll try to make this quick. But this is Mercy Me. This is the song Even If, and it says, I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. And then also I wanted to do a quick reading. Sorry. I've been reading the My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, and I came across this on November 1st, which would have been All Saints Day. And I was reading this and I'm like, I need to read this also, because it fits well with this. But Oswald Chambers was an early 20th century evangelist and teacher, if you guys don't know. But he says here, if through a broken heart God can bring his purpose to pass in the world, then thank him for breaking your heart. You know, God didn't necessarily give me the life that I dreamed of or thought that I would have, you know. And even if he didn't, I will continue to serve him, and my hope is in him alone. And we may not understand our circumstances, but we need to believe anyway. And so I guess when I said that I'm thankful for my answer to prayer, I just hope that through this testimony about Chase and what I've gone through in life, that I can help, or this helped somebody out there, and can help somebody out there that's struggling, that's grieving, and that if we do put our trust in God, he will get us through it. And so anyway, with that I'm thankful. So let me say a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this congregation, and thank you for allowing me to come up here and talk about you, Lord, and also to just thank you. And so, Lord, just ask that I'm allowed, that this message helps others out there to see that, Lord, our hope is in you, Father God. That Lord, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted in you no matter what. Even if they were going to get burnt up in the fiery furnace, Lord, their hope was in you and you alone. So we just, I thank you for that, and I ask that you just bless us and allow us to enjoy the rest of this weekend that you have given us. In your name I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious.